Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Yud Aleph. We're holding two lines from the bottom of Yud Amid Beis. At the end of the line, where the Gemara says, "Umi Goza Reb Yehuda Dilma Asila Meichal Minei." What is this all about? You'll remember we learned yesterday in the Gemara, we had a machloikis between Reb Yehuda and the Chachamim. Reb Yehuda says you have to go and be boidik one of three times. Remember the Maskana said Gemara, not that you have to be boidik three times, but if you didn't go and be boidik the night before, then you boidik the next morning. And if you weren't boidik the next morning, you have to be boidik midday before the Zman Biur, before it's time to go and burn the chametz. If you still forgot to do Bedikas chametz, and now it's already past 12 o'clock, says Rabbi Yehuda, don't be boidik. Forget about it. Don't be boidik. The Chacham, on the other hand, said, no. Even B'toich HaMoyed, or even La'achar HaMoyed. Remember, Rashi learned B'toich HaMoyed means the afternoon of the B'shas HaBir, going back to the Rashi in the Mishnah, B'toich HaMoyed B'shosh Shishis, which is the Moyed HaBir, La'achar HaMoyed M'sheishoy Salamala Achetechshach, Erev Yontif, after 12 o'clock, Rabbanan say, continue to be boidik. If you weren't boidik before, be boidik now. You remember we mentioned Tosis says that even during Yontif and even post Yontif you should be boidik to find any chametz, because even after Yontif the chametz is chametz she'over olav ha-pesach. Now why did Rabbi Yehuda say no, don't be boidik after 12 o'clock, and the Rabbanan said yes, be boidik after 12 o'clock? So the Gemara explained yesterday, because Rabbi Yehuda has a gzeira. What's the gezeira? The person is going to be in the middle of being boidik chametz. 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Erev Pesach, he's going to find in the back of his freezer, or under his bed, or embedded in the back of the closet or the pantry, a delicious cellophane-covered Danish. And he's going to say, wow, that looks good. Yummy. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says he might come because of his natural desires and tendencies. After all, we're only Basar Vadam, we're not Malachim, at least most of us are not. And so therefore, the person might come to eat it. Says Rabbi Yehuda, therefore don't look. If you're going to look for trouble, you're going to find trouble. You're going to find the Danish and you're going to eat it. Stay away. The Chacham are not Goyzer, they're not worried that you're going to be Osi Lemeichel Minei, that you might come to eat this forbidden chametz. Gemara is going to ask now a kasha from the halacha of Chadosh. Last line of the Mish of the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah Mishikarav Oimer Yoitzin Umoitzin Shuki Yerushalayim Sheim Aleim Kemach VeKoli Shalei Beritzayin Chachamim Divrei Meir. What is this all about? This has to do with the fact that there's a halacha of Chadosh. Chadosh means that you're not allowed to eat from the new Tevua until after the bringing of the Korban Hu Oimer on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. What means Chodesh? Chodesh means that you have new Tvua. In this winter you had a beautiful crop of wheat or of barley or other grains, and now it's Pesach time, you'd like to go and bake matzahs from the new grains. The answer is you're not allowed to eat any of those new grains until first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you had to wait until the Korban Hu Oimer was brought. That's the Korban Oimer that we always refer to in the Sviras Hu Oimer. You bring that Korban, as soon as the Korban is brought, everybody can start eating to their heart's delight from the new grain. Nowadays, unfortunately, that we do not have the Beis HaMikdash, until now, Mirchem, this coming Yom Tov, is coming Pesach, Mirchem, we will. But in the meantime, the halacha has been that at etzem hayoyim bazeh, you wait until the end of the day, and then you can go and eat from the chametz, from the new chodesh. Anyway, bottom line is, what's the halacha legabe eating before? It's aser. So now, bottom of the omen once again, v'atnan mishekorev o'omer, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, after the korban o'omer was brought, yoitzin, the kahanim would walk outside the Beis HaMikdash, and they would see Umoitzin Shukin Yerushalayim Shemaleim Kemach V'Koli. They can't believe it. All of the stands, all the markets are full of the brand new Kemach, brand new flour. The Koli is toasted grain. Shalei Beritzayin Chacham. The Chachamim were not happy about that. Now, why weren't they happy about it? Says Rashi, the ikala migzer dilma kimi askibe osil hamechel minay. Because if they finished the kemach v'koli and it's all ready, that means that they have been working on this at least for a few days. They didn't work it on Yom Tov Chas HaShalom, but presumably they did the harvest already a week or 2 weeks before. And as a result, they did all of the preparations until we're now at the point that it's Kemach V'Koli. And at any time from the time of harvest until now, the people that are working and doing the processing of the flour and the Koli may have accidentally put one or two kernels of wheat in their mouth whilst they're working. After all, you're working with it. Yeah. If a person is working with candies, every once in a while, he'll make a bracha and he'll put a candy in his mouth. So he's going to go and take one of these kemach v'kolis, put it into their mouth. And therefore, Reb Meir says, the Chacham were not happy to see that the kemach v'koli was all ready to eat.
Is it kemach v'koli like chewing gum?
They used to use it like chewing gum, in the sense that it wasn't baked yet into a challah, into a roll, into anything else. But it was bakeable, but you are correct. That in fact we find in other Gemaras that it was common for them to use kemach v'koli that would bite into it like chewing gum, or like a sucking candy, or something else for a nash. Divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says, Chacham were not happy because they might come to eat. Rav Yehuda Omer, no, but so Chacham were oisin. You have nothing to worry about. Nah, they're not going to eat. Come on, they're not going to eat. And therefore, what do we see? We have l'chayra astira. Here in the case of chametz, Rav Yehuda is very emphatic. Don't go check the chametz after 12 o'clock because by accident you might put a piece of roll, Danish piece of bread into your mouth. Why by Chodesh isn't he similarly concerned? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Dilma Asila Meichel Minei. Rabbi Yehuda is not nervous about that you might come to eat from it. Not only is it a stira Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, it's a stira the Rabbanan and the Rabbanan. Because here the Rabbanan say, even though it's 12 o'clock, even though you're not allowed to eat chametz anymore, continue to be boidik. You might find a piece of chametz. I'm not worried that he's going to come to eat from the chametz. Yet by the Koli v'Karmel, by the Kemach v'Koli, we find that the Chacham are very concerned. And they say, Shalei Bertzein Chachamim, because the Chacham were concerned that the person might eat from the Kemach v'Koli. Is the Chayra a double steer, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbanan on the Rabbanan. Everything more Omer Rav, Shani Chodesh mitosh Shalei Hitar Taloi El Al Yidei Kituf Hu Zachor. What does this mean? Until now we were talking about the eating of the Chodesh. Now for the first time we're going to talk about the Katsira. Katsira means the harvesting or cutting of all of the grain. Are you allowed to go and harvest grain before bringing the Korban of Omer? On the surface you're not allowed to. Because it says in the Pasuk, V'haveisem es Omer, you bring the Korban of Omer, Reishis Kitzircha el akoyin. Reishis Kitzircha, actually it's Reishis Kitzirchem el akoyin. It's the very first of the harvest. Kitzircha means cutting. It's the very first cutting that you have to go and cut for the Korban Omer. When did they go and cut the wheat for that? It was the barley. When did they cut the barley for the Korban Omer? On Motzi Yomtiv. On Motzi Yomtiv. In other words, the night before the bringing of the carbon on the first day of Chol HaMoed. So says the Gemara, that's supposed to be the Reishis Kitzircham. So how did you in fact have the Shukir Yishalayim Maleim Kemach V'Koli if the very first cuttings, the first harvest was last night on the Motzi Yomtiv? They prepared the carbon Oimer. Carbon Oimer is relatively small. He didn't have to go and prepare huge quantities. Here we're saying that they found that the Shukir Yerushalayim were full. The whole Machane Yehuda from one end to the other. All of the entire Shuk in the old city of Yerushalayim was full from one end to the other, full of Kemach V'Koli. They couldn't have done that all the night before. So how did they go and harvest it? Says Rava, Shani Chodesh B'Tesh Le'Yitar Tolei Ele Ayidei Kituf. Oh, there's an Eitzah. You're not allowed to do Ketzira with a sickle, but you're allowed to go and uproot and pluck out the grain with your hands. Now, this is kind of painful, and it's certainly very laborious. Every single stalk, You can't just go and cut with a sickle. See, as you can well imagine, because of this shinui, this major change in your normal processing and normal operations, that will remind you, Chevra, this is the new stuff, the new chodosh. Don't even think about putting it into your mouth, because I am laboring so intensely just to go and pluck it out of the ground. So therefore, here I don't have to worry. So in the case of the chometz, I have to worry. He finds a nice piece of roll, a piece of bread, a piece of cake, puts it in his mouth. Then I don't have to worry because it's either kitter if he's plucking it out of the ground. So Abaye said that teretz is good, teinach b'shas ketifa, when they're in fact plucking the grain out of the ground, which you're saying makes a lot of sense. He's going to remember not to put anything in his mouth. But t'chinev har kodem ayikonamemer, after all, from the time of plucking these grains out of the stalks of grain, out of the ground, until the step that you're, till the stage that you have it ready for sale, kemach v'koli. Kemach, remember, is flour. Koli means toasted, roasted kernels of wheat. From the point of plucking until kemach v'koli, there are several processes that go in several stages. You have tchina. Tchina means you have to grind up the wheat. V'harkoda, and you have to sift it to get out all the impurities. So mayik l'maymer. So at that time, when he's putting it into the grinding machine, into the mill, or he's putting it through the sieve, then very often he can forget and he can put something in his mouth. And therefore, there's nothing to remind him that this is different than your normal, regular tchina v'harkoda throughout the year. So mayik l'maymer. Says the Gemara, holy kasha. Even here we make a shinui. Shinui means a change. What change do we make? Tchina berechaya diyad. Normally when you want to go and grind up large quantities of grain, you use a rechayim shalmayim. Rechayim shalmayim means a mill which is powered by water. A water mill. Like you see the big water mills. Yeah. Here, however, because you're doing it prior to the permission to eat from the new crop, prior to the heter to eat from the chodosh, you have to do a shinoi. Shinoi means you have to do it with a mill that you use by hand, which obviously is, again, much more tedious, much more labor-intensive, takes up much more time, but that's what you got to do. So since you are doing the tchina berechaim diyad, you remember, why am I doing this? Am I nuts? If I would put it into the water mill, it would go 1, 2, 3.
Chick-chack.
Chick-chack. Now I'm doing this rechaim diyad. I've been working on this the whole day, and I only have so far 1 pound of flour. It's heavy-duty stuff. Oh, because it's chodosh. I'm not allowed to eat from it. Harkoda, the sifting of the flour. Also, algabe napa. Napa is a sieve, and algabe means instead of putting it through the normal way of the sieve, you turn the sieve upside down, and you put it through the holes backwards. Obviously, that's not as effective.
Complicated.
It's much more complicated, and because of those complications, you don't have to worry that he's going to eat from the chodesh, because he realizes this is different. Ma nishtana. This is nishtana from your normal, regular kemach v'kali. Yes?
What is the connection between the conversation about bodek and these new stalks bringing the omer?
The connection is that the Gemara is asking that Rabbi Yehuda said yesterday, when you're doing the bedika, he might find a delicious morsel and put it in his mouth. That's why Rabbi Yehuda said, don't do it after 12 o'clock, because at 12 o'clock on Erev Yom Tov, Isur attaches. You're no longer allowed to go and eat it.
That part, that's part of it.
That's fine.
No problem.
So the Gemara is saying, however, in our case, about the chodosh, here Rabbi Yehuda wasn't concerned. And Rabbi Yehuda said, the Kehanim and people came out of the Beis Hamikdash after the Korban Omer, thinking to themselves, maybe I can go and get some new flour to make new matzes. Maybe. I go outside, thousands of people are online already. Of course, all social distancing goes without saying. But they're all online to go and buy from the Kemach V'Koli on the first day Chol HaMoed. Where did this come from?
This is not allowed, right? You're saying it's not allowed.
Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bertzoin Chacham." The rabbis were so happy; they were rejoicing. It's Rav Meir says that they were unhappy. Why was Rav Meir saying that they were unhappy? Because Rav Meir was concerned that to get to this final product of the kemach of the flour and the koli, several stages had to be gone through to process it. And at any one of those stages, a person might have taken a little morsel, a little piece of flour, a little piece of grain, a little kernel, put into his mouth.
I get it.
That's why Rameya says the rabbis were very upset. Peter said, no, I'm not concerned.
So
it definitely
connects with Bodek in the times.
Exactly. So here, by the case of the Chametz, we are concerned for Rabbi Yehuda. In the case of the Chodesh, we are not concerned. Says Yimara, why? Says Yimara, gave an answer, because you have these shinuyim. These shinuyim are that instead of harvesting, you're plucking. Instead of grinding with a normal windmill or a water mill, you're using a hand mill. Instead of using a sieve normally, you're doing it upside down. So you don't have to worry. Frankly, my lahadit nan. But I have another Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Mesechtes menochois. Koitzim beis hashalchin uveshiba amokim. Avaloi goitshin. What is this all about? Even though we said a moment ago that when you're cutting and harvesting the new tvua of the chadash, that reishis ketzirchem, the first harvesting that is done normally with your normal sickle, that has to be done for the carbon oimer. After that, they can continue harvesting with a sickle. But prior to that, you got to pluck it out. However, the Mishnah Masechet Menachos says that there are exceptions to the rule, like almost all rules. What are the exceptions? To go and you are allowed to do ketzira, you're allowed to do a normal harvest before yontif, before the bringing of the carbon o'imer. If you're talking about harvesting grain from a beis hashalchan. Beis hashalchan means a field that requires a lot of irrigation, lots of water. V'shebamokim, or deep in the valleys. Those you're allowed to do a normal ketzira. Avaloi goychim, you're not allowed to bundle them up and make them in fancy bundles. Now the question is, why are you allowed to go and cut in the Beis HaShalchan? It's before the Ketziras HaOimer. So says Rashi, the reason is because unfortunately the Tvua, the grain that grows in the Beis HaShalchan and Amokim, is inferior in quality, and therefore it would not be appropriate and not be halachically authorized to bring for the carbon oimer. So since I'm not going to use this for carbon oimer anyway, so I'm allowed to go and cut it. Normally, I don't have to go and pluck it out. So now the Gemara asks again the same kasha. Bukim the Rabbi Yehuda. And we said that this mission of Koitzim Reish HaShalchan goes even according to Rabbi Yehuda. How can it go according to Rabbi Yehuda? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say that I'm nervous that a person might put this in his mouth? Even though you're allowed to do the ktsira of the Beis HaShalchan and the Amokim prior to the Ktsiras HaOimer, but you're not allowed to eat from the grain of the Beis HaShalchan and Amokim before the Ktsiras HaOimer because it's called Chodosh. So Rabbi Yehuda says that you're allowed to go and cut, and I'm not worried that he's going to put something in his mouth. Why? Ma'ikan ha'meimar. So before we said that if it's regular stuff, in other words, that was ro'oi, that you could have used for the oimer, you had a bunch of shinuyim, that you had to go and pull it out of the kituf. You had to pluck instead of harvesting. But here you're talking about a normal, regular harvest. The person might put something in his mouth. Rabbi Yehuda should say, Chas v'sholom, don't do that! Because you might accidentally put something in your mouth, just like by the bedikas chametz. Elom Rabbi, Chodosh bodol minei, chametz li bodol minei. It's very simple, says Rabbi. Chodosh, throughout the year, people are very sensitive to the inyan of Chodosh. Meaning, we are not so sensitive today because we're not in the agricultural society. However, in the good old days, people were very, very concerned about that. That they knew that from Pesach of this year until Pesach of next year, I cannot eat any new crops of grain that have grown during that period of time. It's okay, no problem. I can only eat from the old crops. So any new wheat or grain that would come to the marketplace starting in September or January or whenever, people, you can't eat that. You can't eat chulira. It's chodesh. You got to wait until Pesach. You got to wait. Everybody knew you got to wait. Aha. So that being the case, chodesh badal minei. Throughout the year from Pesach to Pesach, people were constantly thinking, okay, from now, from Pesach until July, till August, till September, nothing to worry about. There won't be a new crop. But starting after that, new crops are going to be planted and it's going to grow, depending, of course, on which climate you happen to be. Sometimes it grows earlier, later. You have a winter crop, a summer crop. The people were noivis a whole year, and therefore when it comes to Chodosh, you don't have to worry. Until the bringing of the carbon o'imen on the first day of Chol HaMoed, Nobody's going to put anything into his mouth. But chametz, we eat chametz the entire year, day after day after day. Whether we eat in the form of bread, or challah, or cake, or noodles, or lakshin kegel, but everybody is eating every single day chametz. The only time we don't eat chametz is starting from Erev Pesach at 12 o'clock midday min ha-toyre. So it would be easier to have 3 o'clock, I'm collecting and I'm searching for the chametz, and I find a delicious Danish, I might easily forget, because after all, 3 hours ago, 6 hours ago, for breakfast, I had a brother Danish, looked exactly the same. And boy, I gotta tell you, it was delicious, that Danish. So I might come to eat another Danish on Erev Pesach afternoon, thinking to myself, I'm not going to eat tonight until another 12 hours. All the kids are going to ask 1,000 questions until we're going to get to the Afikoyman. Who knows what I'm going to eat? Oh, this Danish, that looks delicious. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, don't do Bedikas Chametz Pesach afternoon or Erev Pesach afternoon, because Chametz Levod B'nei, he might forget and put it into his mouth. Okay, a very simple distinction. Chodesh people were Bodel. Bodel means they separated themselves from eating Chodesh because this was an ongoing concern. Chametz is not an ongoing concern. A person might forget and eat some chametz. Amar Rav, derbiuda lekasha, kasha, derabana bana lekasha. You asked the steer derbiuda, which was a very excellent kasha. What about derabana rabana? We have the identical concern. Derbiuda lekasha kedushanina that we already answered. Chametz lebadal minei, chodesh badal minei. What about derabana rabana? We have a kasha. What's the kasha? In our case, by the Bidikas Chametz, said the Rabbanan, continue being boydik even 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Erev Pesach. I'm not worried you're going to put it into your mouth. Yet in the case of the Chodesh, when they saw all of that Kemach Vakoli lined up there in the marketplace, says Rameir, which is the Rabbanan, they were furious. They were so upset. Do you know how many Yidin Chas Shalom perhaps were nichshel? Nichshel means they might have fallen through, and they might have eaten from the new Chodosh. Ay, 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 ay. What are we going to do with that steer as well? So Yomara, Rabbanu Nami Loikasha, who Atzim Mechazor L'Soyrfai, Meichel Ka'ochel Minei. So the Gemara uses now a very, very strong svara. And the Gemara says, what's the purpose of the person going on this search and destroy mission to try to find the chametz? It's not just to search for the chametz, but it's to destroy the chametz. So can you imagine when you're going to go and find the chametz, he's going to think about eating it. Are you nuts? His whole purpose and his whole objective is to find chametz and to eradicate it, to nuclear bomb it, to get rid of it, to smash it to smithereens. He thinks he's going to go and eat from it. He looks upon that as the worst chazer, as the worst lobster. Get it out of here. Get the chametz out. So you have nothing to worry about that he might come and eat from the chametz on Erev Pesach. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi gives a new teretz. Terebiuda, terebiuda, lekasha, kemach v'koli tonight. What does the Gemara mean by that? Ravashi means that kemach v'koli are the types of things that people don't eat. When you're talking about chametz, I'm going to go on my search mission to a bdika. I might find a roll, I might find a bread, I might find cake, I might come to eat it. Kemach v'koli, kemach is flour. Koli are toasted kernels. Who eats kemach v'koli? So therefore I don't have to worry about they're going to put it into their mouths, because it's not edible, or it's not something that people typically eat. That on the surface that makes sense. It says Yomara, but Ahad Rav Ashi Berusihi or Bedusi. The teretz Rav Ashi gave is a mistake. Why is it a mistake? Hatenach mi koli v'eilach meikara ad koli ma'yikala meimar. You're 100% right. Once it reaches the koli stage, meaning that it's already toasted kernels of wheat, people normally don't eat from it at that point. Rather, what do? They go and take it to the mill, grind it up into flour, and eat it, etc.
So what are they worried about? Who's going to really...
Exactly, so nobody's going to eat from it. But that's after it becomes kemach v'koli. Me'ikara ad koli ma'ikala me'imar, explains Rashi, that what's koli? Koli means that you had kernels of wheat that you put into the oven, and you toasted them. Before you put into the oven, you toast it, it's nice and moist. Because it's nice and moist, people are going to use it, like Daniel said before, for chewing gum. They're going to put it into their mouth, and they're going to chew at it. It's really good. It's really nice. Lovely. And so therefore, don't tell me, Rav Ashi, nobody eats kemach v'koli. That's the final product. I'm talking about during the processing of the kemach v'kali, yesterday and 3 days ago and 5 days ago, after the harvest, already at that time, somebody might have decided, it looks good. They're tempted, they put into their mouths. And so therefore, the teretz that you're giving, that people don't eat kemach v'kali, that mikan v'eilech, after it reaches that stage. But until that stage, people would have had the craving or desire to eat. Maybe you're going to go and say, you don't have to worry about it, because they didn't harvest it normally, but rather they uprooted it by plucking. Kidarava, like Rabbi said before. So therefore you don't have to worry about it, they're going to put it into their mouths. It says, okay, that's fine in the regular tvur. But what about that inferior tvur? That you're allowed to go and cut those and harvest those normally. Therefore you don't have the shinui of plucking it, you're harvesting with a sickle. Vukim the Rabbi Yehuda, we said that goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Ma'ikal Meimer. So we have a very, very good question on Rav Ashi. How do Rav Ashi say that people don't eat the kemach v'kali? True, the kemach v'kali they don't eat, but they will eat in earlier stages of processing the grain. They will put it into their mouths and chew it like chewing gum. Therefore, the Ravashi bedusehi. There's another gift, birusehi. That what Ravashi said is unfortunately an error, and therefore don't follow Ravashi's teretz. But rather, we go back to the original teretz that by chometz loy bodel minay. People are accustomed to eating chometz every day of the year. So, erev Pesach at 3 o'clock, he might still have that desire to eat chometz. While chodosh bodel minay, every day of the year. Not every day, but starting, I don't know, by September or January, people are nervous about Chodesh, and they're very, very careful and meticulous. Frank Dimar, because of Rabbi Yehuda, are you telling me in those cases where loy bodel minei, that person normally does not distance himself from that item, that Rabbi Yehuda is goyzer, like in the case of the chometz? Vatanan, I'm going to show you Rabbi Yehuda just the other way around. Vatanan layikav adam shvei feres shel beya v'yemalena shemen v'yetnera b'tzad haner b'shul shetei minat tefes v'afil hishol cheres. As we know in old Jewish homes, we go and light the candles before Shabbos. Okay, Now, we of course have candles, and therefore they're nicely put together and nicely processed, and we don't have to worry. In the good old days, the way they used to do it was similar to the way many of us light Chanukah Neiros, means that they actually used real shemen, real oil. Now, sometimes you wanted to have a large quantity of oil so that the lights burn long. For instance, Friday night, you were making in your home a big gala su'udah, and you expected that this su'udah is going to take 3 or 4 hours. And remember, they didn't have electric lights in those days. Everything was based on the lights that you're lighting the Kovet Shabbos. So guess what happened? You are lighting now the lecht, and you say to yourself, there's not enough room in the kalim, in the receptacle, for more oil. The oil can only last for an hour or two. So what do? You take an egg, you fill up you take the eggshell, that is, you are able to extract the egg from the eggshell, and now you fill up that eggshell with shemen, and you hang it on some sort of improvised kli of some sort, and now it's dripping down, drip, 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 into the nair down below. So that even after the nair down below uses up all of the shemen in the receptacle, guess what? New drops and drips of shemen are constantly dropping and dripping down. Oh, sounds like a great idea. Says the Tanakhama, lo yikov, a person is not allowed to do that. Why can't you do that? What's wrong? What's the problem? Says Rashi, because you're putting this on the table in front of everybody, for purposes, of course, of illumination of the table on the Kovet Shabbos. And guess what might happen? As we know, it's become the minhag in so many homes of Klal Yisrael that at the same time that they eat the fish or after the fish, that they have to have 28 different dips on the table. Whether it's hummus or whether it's chweis, china, and baba ganoush, and all the other wonderful things that people can go and buy nowadays. Now what happens if after all of that has been used up, somebody still wants to have some salad dressing, and there's no shemen left? somebody might eye the shemen in that shveferish shelbeya, in that eggshell, which is dropping and dripping and probably causing a lot of noise. He's going to see that. He says, hey, you know what? That shemen looks great. I could use it for my salad dressing. So he takes a spoon and he tries to get some of the shemen from there and puts it into his salad. Says the Tanna Kamma, that's osur. Why is it osur? Because that's a form of gram. It's as if you are causing this ner to go out. It's a gram kibui. How are you? What do you mean that you're causing it to go out? Because this ner would last for 3 hours. By my taking away, siphoning off some of the shemen, it's only going to go for 2.5 hours. So therefore, that's a problem, says the Tanna Kamma. So again, lo yikav on the shofar shelbeya. A person shouldn't go and hollow out. The word yikav means to make a hole. And a shofar shelbeya in an egg shell. V'yimel le'en Hashem and fill it up with oil. V'yinen b'shet b'tzad ha'ner and then put it next to the ner. B'shul shetei min ha'tefes, so that it should be dripping the whole time. A fill yishel cheres, even if it's made out of cheres, where then it's mo'us. And normally you would say, I don't have to worry, he's going to take. No, he might still take. And therefore, awesome. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Now, what's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda Matir? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say, Bechomets, I'm afraid that the person's going to go and take some chomets. Here too, Rabbi Yehuda should say, I'm afraid the person might take some shaman. Why is he being lenient by the shaman, yet he's being so strict when it comes to the chomets? Everything more, Hasam Yishim, Chumra de Shabbos, Mivdal Bedili. There, because of the Chumra of Shabbos, everybody knows that Shabbos is so chomor, Mivdal Bedili, he's not going to even think about taking any of the shemen from that menorah, from that candelabra, from the Shabbos neiros, and use it for salad dressing. Shabbos, people are nervous. Masha'inke legabi chomet. Now, before we continue on, we have to understand, why is Shabbos more chomor than chomet? L'choira, Shabbos, if a person is over Shabbos b'mezid, is a din of kares. Guess what? If a person eats chometz b'mezid, it's also a din of kares. So manishtana, both of them are chumradik. It's very, very chumradik. Daf yud aleph amud aleph. 11a. I know you know. I just want to show you. I also know. So the question is now, l'choira, why is Shabbos more chumra than chometz? So the two likely answers are that number one, by chometz, you only have kares. Only. Kares is pretty bad. However, Shabbos, if you have Edim and Hasra, they warn the guy, then Chas v'Shalom, he can get Skila. Skila means to be stoned. That is not at all pleasant. Stoning is not at all pleasant. So therefore, that's worse than Chometz. Chometz is just Kares.
Chayimisa.
By Shabbos, if there are no Edim v'Hasra, but he does it b'mezid, he does it intentionally, he gets Kares. It's true. But that's Kares b'day Shemayim. People are less concerned about Kares B'day Shemayim than they are concerned about being stoned in public. Public humiliation. And also, it's not pleasant to be stoned. Anyway, so therefore, Shabbos is more chomer in that respect. But there's another reason. Because after all, according to Rashi, we're talking about doing the Bedikas Chometz on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. And Kuli Alma Moida that eating Chometz prior to Pesach, even after 12 o'clock, is an Isser Lav. And it's an Isser Asay, but there's no din of Kares. Okay, so Shabbos is much more chomer. Shabbos is skila, Shabbos is kares. The bedikah and erev yontif is taka and iser, but it's an iser lab. It doesn't have a din of kares. Frankly, my rami to Shabbos is Shabbos. So now let me ask you a series of Shabbos and Shabbos. Desani, we learned chabud lisha nifzak. What happens if you have a deli, a bucket, and the bucket goes up and down to draw the water out of the well? And unfortunately, that chevel, the rope that's handing the, that's holding the bucket that's attached to the well, nifsak, it got torn on Shabbos. Lo yei koishre, don't make a kesher. In other words, don't go make a proper knot, because kesher is osur on Shabbos. El oinvoi, rather make such a bow, such a slip knot, not a real knot. Rabbi Yehuda oimer koirech alav punda oy piskaya ubavach liyadvenu. Rabbi Yehuda is much more machmir and says not only don't make a proper knot, don't even make an aniva, don't make a bow, but rather go and put on a punda. Punda means go and take your belt or take a piskaya, some other type of strap, and do a temporary fix that you know that after Shabbos you're going to go and extract your belt. After all, if you don't get your belt back, you know what can happen to your pants. So therefore, he's not going to leave it there permanently. He's going to take it away after Shabbos. But don't even make it uneven. So what do I see from this? Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir. And he's afraid that if you're going to come to make an aniva, you're going to come to make a kasher, and who knows, you have to be goyzer. Why do you have to be goyzer? Didn't we just say that Rabbi Yehuda is matir because of the chumrah of Shabbos? Mivdu b'dil minay. We're not concerned that he might come to do an avera. He's not going to come. He is so upset. He's so nervous and concerned about kedusha Shabbos. You don't have to worry. That's why you don't have to worry. He's going to go and take and extract some of the shem and shebener. So you shouldn't have to worry about that. He's going to make an aniva. What's the shlacht? He'll make an aniva. Aniva is not a problem. Kashi Rebuda Rebuda, Kashi Rebuna Rebuna, same Kashi we have the Rebuna Rebuna in reverse. The Rebuna Rebuna Le Kashi. What did the Rebuna say the Gabi Shabbos? Don't make such a holy beya to allow the shemen to drip out because he might take some, siphon off some of that shemen. Here, the Gabi, the case of the Chevel Dli, you can make an aniva, you can make a bow. I'm not afraid that he's going to make a kesher. Says he, well, I'll tell you why. Shemen b'shemen mechlev. After all, shemen, throughout the year, every day of the week, people are eating oil with their salad, and they use it for salad dressing. So now on Shabbos, he might forget and take some of that oil. It's only natural. I love oil with my salad. You don't have to worry about that if he's going to go and make an aniva, he's going to go make a bow, he's going to come make a kesher. Everybody knows Shabbos, you're now going to make a permanent kesher. Aniva, you don't have to worry. Derbiuda, derbiuda like kesher. Time of Rabbi Yehuda, la mishum degoz aniva atukshir. Now, what was the kasha in Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda legabi, the case of the shemen, said, chumr de Shabbos, mivdu bedili minay, a person's not going to go and take from the shemen. But the chevel tli, don't make an aniva. And we thought that the reason why you're not going to make a bow, because he might come to make a full-fledged knot. Says Yimar, no, that's not the reason. Tan Rabbi Yehuda, la mishum degoz aniva atukshira, and mishum degozover aniva gufakshirahi. Rabbi Yehuda holds that just like you're not allowed to go and make a proper knot, you're not allowed to go and make a bow. That is also a form of knot. So it's not because of the gzeira. He holds that in itself is awesome. Pray to more Rabbi Rabbana Rabbana. And now I'm going to ask another steer. Rabbana Rabbana. Not. What did the Rabbanan say a moment ago? They say that the Chevel Dli, you're allowed to make an aniva. Now we learned in a Mishnah, Koishin Dli bepiskaya, you're allowed to go and tie the Dli back on Shabbos with the piskaya. Piskaya, remember we said before, is some sort of strap. Avaloi bechevel. Rashi says it's a type of strap that one wears on the legs to hold up the socks. This is probably similar to what the women used to wear, such garter belts. Anyway, so Koishin Dli bepiskaya, avaloi bechevel. But don't go and tie a chevel, a proper rope, on the tli of Shabbos. You're not going to go make a kesher. Rabbi Yehuda matir. Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter. So now let's understand. When it says avaloi bechevel, chevel demai, what type of chevel are we talking about? Gzumtai. Ilei mechevel dal, we're talking about a normal, regular rope. Rabbi Yehuda matir. How does it say that Rabbi Yehuda is matir to do a kesher? Remember the Mishnah starts off, koishrin tli b'piskai avaloi bechevel. Rabbi Yehuda is matir chevel. Meaning that Rabbi Yehuda permits kesher by a chevel. How can Rabbi Yehuda be matir? Kesher shoshkayamuhu. That's the vadi osel betule. Vadi osel betule means that once you make a permanent kesher, then you're going to leave it like that. You're not going to go and say, Matzah Shabbos, let's undo it and let's put it back together. Once you made a festa kesher, a proper knot, you're going to leave it. So the chayit, it's a real kesher shoshkayam. It's awesome. Elabshita de Gardi. We're not talking about your normal chevel, we're talking about a chevel de Gardi. Gardi means of the weavers. And this is a type of chevel that is precious and is expensive. And a weaver is not going to say, just use it for the well. Come on. You're not going to use it for the well. You need that in the weaving process. And says the Gemara, because Rabbanan chevel de Gardi, oto chevel de Alma. And the Chacham are goyzer, the chevel de Gardi, meaning the chevel used by the weavers, oto chevel de Alma. What's pshat? A regular chevel that you're going to make a kesher, sure, if you're going to make a good knot, Matzah Shabbos Sunday, you're not going to review it, you're just going to leave the knot there until it tears again. Otherwise, amen. You're going to assume that you're going to leave it there for the next 6 months, or a year, or maybe 20 years, as long as the knot lasts. Chevel de Gardi, Matzah Shabbos Sunday morning, the weaver's going to say, hey, what happened to my chevel? I need it for the weaving. Well, what happened to it? So you're going to quickly take it out. However, the chamur goyzer, chevel de Gardi, or the chevel de Alma, if you're going to allow for the tying of a knot with the weaver's chevel, you're going to come to use even a regular. So they made such a gzeira. So how come by aniva we said that they are not goyzer? We said the sanya chevel de lisha nifsek leyekoyshe eloinvoy. We should make a gzeira over there too. If you're going to allow for making a bow, you're going to go and make a knot. Says the Gemara, you cannot compare the two gezeiros. In chevel b'chevel michlef, you can easily mistake one chevel, one rope for the other rope. Presumably the weaver's rope looks a little bit different. But the point is, if you're going to allow a person to go and tie the weaver's rope with a proper kesher on Shabbos, the person might come next time to go and tie a regular rope with a proper kesher. But since the rabbi said you're only allowed to make a bow, he's not going to come from a bow to make a proper knot. He knows bow, yes, and knot, not. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you're not bottled, we're not goyzer chalech the bottle. If you are boidel, if you stay away from it. Rabbi Yehuda is not goyzer, like in the case of the Shukir Yerushalayim with a kemach v'koli, a person is boidel, he separates himself throughout the year, he distances himself from eating chodosh, so I'm not worried that he might come and put the kemach v'koli in his mouth. Similarly, because a person is chumr de Shabbos, mivdol b'dili minei, I don't have to worry that he's going to go and take some of the shemen, but tanya, I have a braisa, b'chor. B'chor is referring to a b'chor behema, she'achozei dam, that unfortunately had high blood pressure. How did you relieve the high blood pressure in the animals? Just like lehavdil by human beings. In the good old days, they didn't have blood pressure medicine. They used to do ha'chozas hadam. Chozas dam means they would let out some of the blood to go and relieve the blood pressure.
What an idea.
It makes sense,
but it does.
It apparently works, because the Gemara refers to this numerous times. Anyway, b'chor she'achozei dam, afilu hu mes. Even if you see the b'chor behema is going to die, the veterinarian has come by and said, if you don't let out some of the blood, this behema is a goner. You still cannot do hakozes dam on the b'chor. The reason why is because a b'chor behema is a karbon. You're not allowed to inflict a mum on a karbon, and therefore by going and doing hakozes dam, you might come to make a mum. Now, we have to add one more knech. Rashi says that not everywhere in the animal is it considered to be a mum, because after all, just pricking and making a hole, just like lehavdil when we go for blood tests and we let out some blood, or when we get IV into our veins, that doesn't make a permanent mum. It may hurt for a second or two, but after that, as we know, you close it up and you're finished. So the same thing applies to behema, that if you take your normal blood from a normal place, it's not a problem. But there's a gezeira behind the scenes here, where Rabbi Yehuda says, no, don't take any blood anywhere, because you might forget and you might go and take it in such places of the body where it does not replenish itself, where it does not rejuvenate itself, and it's going to remain a permanent mum. So don't even think about emekis and dam. Never Rabbi Yehuda. No, you can do hakazu, but just be careful. Make sure that when you puncture the body to get out the blood, don't do it in such a place where it might cause a mum. So what do I see from this? Rashi says, by kodshim, everybody is bedelin mehen. Kodshim! Everybody's noivis. Everybody's going to stay away from kodshim. So nevertheless, still, Rabbi Yehuda makes a gzeira. Don't make any hakozes satam. Why do you have to make gzeiras, Rabbi Yehuda? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say that where you have mivdul bedili minei, like either the chumrah of Shabbos or the din of chodesh, mivdul bedili minei, you have no gzeira. And here I see that Rabbi Yehuda is goyzer emikiz leitam. Everything, well, I'll tell you why. Mitoich she'odam hasam. Hasam, the case of the Bechar. Mitoich she'odam bohul al mamaynai. A person is very concerned. What is very concerned? This is talking at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, where the Kahanim looked to the Bechar, Bechar Behemois, as a good source of food for himself and for his family. If this Bechar Behemois is going to go and die, that's going to be dead meat. It's going to be worthless. I won't be able to use it anymore for a carbon. It's going to be dead. So Amrinan, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, Isharis Saleba Mokum Shein Oisim Bay Mum. If you're going to permit him to go and do a Kozes Adam in a place of the body where it will not cause a mum, Osim Leba Mokum Shein Oisim Bay Mum, it might cause him to go and make the same type of hole and the same type of akozastam bloodletting. And therefore I have to be very concerned and very nervous, says Rabbi Yehuda.
Mm-hmm.
Normally we say Kahanim's reason heim b'shas the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't necessarily say the Kahanim's reason heim about everything that they do in life. In other words, when they walk down the street, I don't know if they're careful not to go and step on a banana peel or something like that. When they're doing the avoid, they do it meticulously and scrupulously to make sure it's done bizmanoi, the right time, and the right tzrikas adam, and all the kabbalas. After all, they went to avoid the school for 5 years to learn all of the Hilchas Kabbanis from the age of 25 to the age of 30, so they are the reason. However, here we're talking about outside the Beis Midrash, he owns this Bechor Behema, and we're very, very concerned. The Yisharisle, if you're going to allow for the Hakazas Adam, and the Kohen is not going to do the Hakazas Adam, it's the bloodletter, it's the doctor who's going to do the bloodletting, if you permit him, Mokim Shein Ois My Mom. And then you're going to be over the Isra and the Torah of Kol Mum Lo Yia Boy Lo Yahaya Boy. You're not going to make a mum in a carp. Zok the Gemara. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, stay away. The person's bol al mamoinoi, and therefore he will make a mistake. He's going to allow a cause of Saddam. It's going to be mokish ois my mum. Don't allow it. Why do the Rabbanan say, allow the Hakoz Saddam, but just be careful not to allow for Imam? Rabbanan Kolshkein, Diloy Sharisa Le Klal, Osil Amebad. The Rabbanan are using now reverse psychology. And they're saying, if you're going to go and tell the Kohen, don't make Hakoz Saddam, even B'mokim She'ein Oisim B'imum, he's going to say, Rabbis, you know, I always try to be as erlich and as frum as possible, but here it's impossible. This is pikuch nefesh for this animal. If I'm not going to do akos zadam, you know what's going to happen? The animal's going to die. The veterinarians all signed the kokoire, 100 of them, that if you don't do akos zadam in this animal, the animal's going to die. So therefore, say the Rabban, ila sharisa leklal, if you're not going to allow him to go and make any akos zadam anywhere, osalameh, but his Yetzirah is going to get the best of him and say, I have no choice, the animal's going to die. So therefore you have to allow him a little bit of string, if you will. What is that little bit of string? Allow him to go and do the Akoz HaZadam, but mokim she'ein oisim b'ayman. Freiti mara, omi amrin Rabbi Yehuda adam bo'la ma'amaynai. Do we find that Rabbi Yehuda is really concerned that a person is going to be so distraught about the possible loss of his animal that he might go and be over Isurim? But not Rabbi Yehuda oimer. Ain, here it says Mekadrin, and side says Mekardin, Habahema Biyantim, Neshahu Oisim Chabura, Aval Mekartzefin. Both Kidur and Kirtzuf, as we'll see in a moment, both are a person who combs the hair, or the, not really the hair, the fur, whatever, the back of the animal, and the reason is to go and remove impurities. And Rashi says that it was very necessary from time to time to do this combing. There's a fancy English word to curry, C-U-R-R-Y, to go and comb the manes and the backs and the fronts and etc., all the hair, etc., of the animals. It says, Rashi, Fisha hatit makhish esa behema umetzara. Animals, by definition, they don't go and take showers on a regular basis, so they're going to go and get all types of mud and schmutz attaching to their bodies, and it causes them a lot of discomfort. Aha. So says Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to go and do the kirud, that's one form of combing, but you are allowed to do kirtzuf. The kirud makes a chabura, it could make a wound, kirtzuf doesn't. You can't do either one. But Tanya, the Braise explains, what does this mean? Ezeu kidur ve'ezeu kirtzuf. Kidur ketanim ve'oisim chabura. Ketanim means that the comb has very small teeth, so as you are doing your currying, you're doing your combing, these small teeth are going to cause a chabura. But it's not only because they're small teeth, but Rashi says they're also made out of matches. It's made out of metal. And therefore, the metal is going to cause that wound. Mashinkin kirtzuf is made out of wood. It has gedoilim, it has big teeth. Since it has big teeth, they don't go and cause any major chaburas. Aha. Anyway, so what do I see from all of this? I see that Rabbi Yehuda is goizer because of the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is not goizer by kirud. He only asers by kirtzuf. But by kirud, he says, it's no problem. You can go and... Again, Rabbi Yehuda says, ein mekadna behema biyantav. Don't do kirud, because kirud is oise chabura. You are allowed to do kirtzuf. The Chum say, no, don't do either one. Now, why does Rabbi Yehuda say you're allowed to do kirtzuf? Why aren't we goizer? After all, Odom bohul alma moinoi. If you're not going to allow him to do one of the two, then he's going to go and do it. He's going to be over. So back on the Amud Aleph, we said the gabri the behema don't do hakozes sadam anywhere, even by makir she'ein oisim by mum, because the person is bohul alma moinoi. So why does Rabbi Yehuda allow for the kirtzuf? Odom bohul alma moinoi. Everything in Mara has in the Yishavik lay mayis amrin anubam al moinoi. So Gemara gives a very simple teretz. Gemara says the premise of your question was shaky because their bo'al alma moina means the animal is going to die without hakozes adam. Here in the case of the kirin and the kirtzif, the animal is going to be discomforted. It has tzar. Okay, it has tzar. Okay, that's not the end of the world. So therefore, that's why you can go and do the kirtzif. I'm not afraid he might come to do the kirud. Frank Dimar. For a beautiful Maishna Gabi Chometz to Gozer, Maishna Gabi Kirtzev to Loi Gozer. How come by Chometz he says, I'm afraid he's going to forget, he's going to go and put a piece of Chometz in his mouth? How come by Kirtzev I'm not afraid that he might come to upgrade his combing from Kirtzev to Kidur? Evdimar, Lechem Alechem Michlef. After all, every day of the year people go and eat lechem, so on Erev Yom Tov he might be forgetful and he's going to put a piece of Danish, a piece of bread into his mouth. Easy chiluf, in other words, an easy way of forgetting. It's human nature. But kidur v'kirtzuf, that's major differences. A bigger comb and a smaller comb with big teeth and small teeth and a metal comb and a wooden comb. This is not the type of thing that a person easily makes a mistake, so therefore I am not goizer. Okay, we start a new sugira, a brand new Mishnah. It's brand new, but we had the Gemara already quoted this a couple of days ago. Says the Gemara on Er, says the Mishnah, on Erev Yom Tov, min ha-toyrah, you're allowed to eat chametz until the end of the sixth hour. And therefore you're allowed to keep it in your possession until the end of the sixth hour. However, Midrabban and Rabban were afraid that a person is going to forget, or he's going to make a mistake between end of the sixth hour, beginning of the sixth hour, fifth hour, fourth hour, and they said, you know what, we have to make a harchaka. We have to tell the person, stop early, so that you don't get into trouble. It's similar to what we have every Friday night, that we go and light candles, for instance, 18 minutes early, or in Yerushalayim, 40 minutes early. It's still day, it's daylight. Why do you have to? Because I'm afraid that you're going to come to be over on Shkia, so we do a harchaka 18 minutes before, 40 minutes before, etc. You can keep on eating and eating and eating chametz the entire 5 hours. Once 5 hours are over, in other words, it's already 11 o'clock, assuming that the daybreak was 6 o'clock, go 5 hours until 11 o'clock, 11:01, 11:02, head out to go and burn the chametz. You can eat at the 4 hours, in other words, until 10 o'clock, and from 10 to 11, you're not allowed to eat. But there's no din of burning. And I agree with Rameir, we're going to go and burn it at the beginning of 11 o'clock, and that was 11:01, 11:02, but stop eating an hour earlier. What is the reason for the machlok between Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda? We're going to examine that in the Gemara in a moment. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Shtei chalish shel toida psulais, munochis al gabi itztaba, kol zman shemunochis kol ha'am oichlin, nitla achas, toidun le'ichlin le'sarfin." What is this all about? Rabbi Yehuda Lishitoso, who says that there are three periods. Ochlin Kalarba, you can eat until 4. And then between 4 and 5, in other words, between 10 and 11, don't eat, but don't have to burn. And then stage number 3, at 11:01, Sarbat Chilashesh, start burning the chametz. Says Rabbi Yehuda, as a reminder that people should not forget, you know what they used to do? On an itztaba, itztaba means like a raised platform that they had on the harabayas, they would put out in the morning two chalois of toida, which are psulais. Now, as you know, chala, a carbon toida, you have to bring with 40 chalas altogether. Among the 40 chalas, we have 3 minim of matzah and 1 min of chametz. Even though we call them all chalois, we're really referring to both matzah and to chometz. So you take 2 chometz stick chalishul toida on Erev Yontif in the morning, psulois. The Mishnah doesn't tell us how they're possible, how they became possible. We'll talk about that in Miachim in the Gemara tomorrow, the next day. You put them on this itzdeva, on this raised platform. Kol zman shemenachas, as long as you still see the two of them are there, kol am oichlin, then you can go and eat chametz as much as you want. But at 10 o'clock, nitla achas, they took away one of the two. Then toilet, from this point on, lo oichem lo sarvin, because we started the shor hachamishas. Don't eat, you don't have to burn. Nitlu shtoim, once they take away both of them, people say, oh no, no more chalas toida. And then everybody knows it says man sreifa, the man of biur chametz. So this is a line. This is the shitas Reb Yehuda l'shitasai. The Reb Yehuda says you have the three time periods. Kol arba, toilim kol chamish, so b'tchilas sheish. That's why you had the first the two chalas, then the one chalas, and then the zero chalas. Reb Gamliel Omer, chulin necholim kol arba, tzumah kol chamish, so b'tchilas sheish. Reb Gamliel seems to hold like Reb Yehuda that you can eat chulin throughout the first 4 hours, and then Gamliel adds, what happens if you have truma? Now truma you're not allowed to just go burn willy-nilly, and you're not allowed to even just leave it over if it's going to come l'day sreifa, because it's osel havsid kodshim, and there's a special posik mishmeres truma isoy. If you have to make a mishmeres, you have to keep truma and eat it and not just waste it. So we give the people 1 more hour to eat the truma. But of course, once it gets 11 o'clock, it's now time for bir chametz. Then you gotta bir chametz. You gotta go burn the chametz. So therefore, Rav Gamliel adds that you have truma. You have 1 more hour to eat. Zokti Gemara. Let's get back to the beginning of the Mishnah. We said that a mayor says a person makes a mistake. Kol chomesh v'sarv b'tchila shesh. Reb Yehuda says oichun kol arba v'toyim kol chomesh v'sarv b'tchila shesh. So now the Gemara is going to bring a totally different fact pattern, but we're going to use the same types of time intervals, and you'll see we have the same machloikas of Meir and Reb Yehuda. It's the Nanasa. Ech loymer b'shnayim b'chodesh v'ech loymer b'shloisha. Unfortunately, there was a terrible, terrible situation. Nebuch Rachman Litzlan, Reuven killed Shimon. There was Nebuch a Ritzicha. Rachman Litzlan. Now, we caught Reuven, and now the Bezdin wants to paskin him lemisa, but you can only do that if you have two Edom. So two Edom come on the scene, and they say, yes, we saw the Meiser Tzicha. Then the Bezin has to ask a whole bunch of questions. So question number one they asked, when did this take place? The first guy says, Bishnayim B'chodesh, it was the second day of Kislev. The Yechad Oymi, the other one says, Bishloich, it was the third day of Kislev. Oh, L'chayr, I should say, disqualified, there's a contradiction between the two. Says the Mishnah, no Edus and Kayemis. The Edus is still good. Remember, it's not like today that we all have calendars. At that time, they knew that the Rosh Chodesh based on the Kiddush HaChodesh in the Beis HaMikdash. So some people were more attuned to these things and some people were less attuned. Some people may have been out of town. So the first person knew Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday and therefore Monday was the second day of the month. The other person said, oh, I thought Rosh Chodesh was on Shabbos, and therefore the second day of the month was on Sunday. Monday was the third day of the month. That's why he said Bishloishim. So it was just a common error. It's not because it's really a contradiction in terms. They're both referring to a case that happened on Monday morning, the very beginning of the month. One said second, the other one said a third, but really they mean the same thing. This one knew that the previous month had 30 days, and therefore Shabbos was the 30th day of the previous month, and Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, and this one didn't know that it was Birush Chodesh. In other words, this one knew that the Chodesh was 30 days, and this one did not. He thought it was 29 days, and that's why they had the difference between of one day between whether it's the second or third of the month. However, if one says it was Monday morning, but it was the third day of the month, the fifth day of the month, because it's impossible to have such a distinction of the 2 days. So obviously, somebody's lying. If one said it took place at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the other one says it took place at 9 o'clock in the morning, it doesn't kayamas. This is the same Rameir as our Mishnah. Rameir says, L'choyr, the same svara. Now, before we get heavily involved into the svaras, it would appear on the surface that Rameir holds that a person makes a mistake of only 1 hour, and therefore you can eat until the end of the fifth hour, burn in the sixth hour. Well, Rebuta says, no, you can only eat into 4 hours, and then don't eat for another hour, and then burn in the sixth hour. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're toya in 2 hours. So here too you have the same situation. The first person said that the murder took place, Nebuch, at 8 o'clock. And the other person said it took place at 9 o'clock. Say to some kayamas, because the person makes a mistake of 1 hour. But if one says three hours, the other one says 5 hours, in other words, he says it's 9 o'clock, the other one says it's 11 o'clock, and do some batela to remain because you have now a difference of 2 hours. Well, Rabbi Yehuda only made do some kayamas, even 2 hours, a person makes a mistake. So that seems to be very consistent with the pattern in our Mishnah. If one of them says that the murder took place at 11, remember, we're starting from 6 o'clock in the morning. So Chomish means 11 o'clock. The other one says at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Eidusim B'Tela. Sheba Chomish Chama B'Mizrach U'B'Sheba Chama B'Marav. People didn't look at their wristwatches. They looked up in the sky. At 11 o'clock, the sun was on the eastern side of the horizon. At 1 o'clock, the sun would be on the western side of the horizon. And person wouldn't make that mistake between the east and the west. I mean, it's crystal clear. It's still here morning, and here's it afternoon. Never the twain shall meet. So therefore, that's certainly contradictory edus. Okay, so now that's the end of the Mishnah. And now Abai is going to analyze Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda. Omer Abai, kishetim salam l'div Remeir, ein adam toiv aliklam. If you really think about it, the reason why Remeir said that if one said three, and the other one said four, or let's say shtei shoyes, and the other one said shalosh shoyes, the answer is eidan toiv aliklum, a person does not make a mistake, or not a major boo-boo, maybe 5 minutes, but nothing more than that. The Rabbi Yehuda adam toiv chatisha, a person makes a mistake of half an hour. So Gemara explains the divrei Meir ein adam toiv aliklum ma'aseh ki hava. Let's go back to the murder. We have two eidim. One says that it took place at shtei shoyes, after 2 hours, in other words, 8 o'clock. And the other one said, B'sholei Shoyes, 3 hours, which means 9 o'clock. Sounds like a big difference of an hour. No. There's really no difference. Ma'isa gehavim ha'mefek tarti u'ma'ayil klas. Really, you know when the murder took place, it was at the moment of 8:59 turning into 9 o'clock. So it was still 8:59, about to become 9. V'hadikam rishtayim, the first person who says it took place at 8 o'clock, he meant besoif shtayim. He didn't mean at the outset of 8 o'clock, he meant at the end of 8 o'clock, meaning at 8:59. But the Amish Shalish, the one that said that it took place at 9 o'clock, he meant betchilah Shalish, at the very, very beginning. So therefore, the difference between the two Eidim is a difference of 1 minute or 2 minutes. He was saying 8:59, he was saying 9:01. It's really the same thing, so there's no choice, and that's why I can use these two Eidim together. Rabbi Yehuda adam toya chatzi shah. Rabbi Yehuda says, not a person makes a mistake up to half an hour. You know what it probably happened? It probably happened at 4:30. Palga de arba, 4:30. The one that says three besoif shalish, he meant all the way at the end of 3:59. And if you want, we can reinterpret it for morning hours. But let's just make it simple, and that is palga de arba. It really took place at 4:30. The first one who said 3, he meant 3:59. So what's the difference between 3:59 and 4:30? He made a mistake of a half an hour frontwards. He thought it was still 3:59, it was already 4:30. V'haydik Omer Chomish, the one that says 5 o'clock. Remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even 3 and 5, you are mitztarif. Why? V'haydik Omer Chomish, betchilas Chomish. The other person who said that it's 5, he meant at the very outset of 5, like 5:01. And therefore his mistake was a half an hour backwards. It really took place at 4:30. He said 5:01. Yeah, you're right. It was really 4:30. I made a mistake a half an hour. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda allows for one to say 3 and the other one to say 5. Not because a person can make a mistake of 2 hours, but because a person is entitled to a little leeway of half an hour. Ikriyami, but there is another version of Abaye. Omer Abaye. If you really want to analyze it, Ledivre Meir Odom Toya Mashu, person makes a mistake of a short period of time, very short. Divre Yehuda Odom Toya Shah Umashu, an hour and a little bit. And we start again. Ledivre Meir Odom Toya Mashu. Ma'isiki Hava Oibesef Shtaim Hava Oibetchila Sholish. Remember, one eight said it took place at 2, and the other one said at 3. Aha. Therefore, says the Gemara, the actual Maisa happened Oy Besoif Shtayim at the very end of the second hour, meaning at 2:59. Oy betchilas shalosh, what happened in 301? V'chad minay utoye mashu. Basically the same as the first version of Abaya in interpreting Remeir. So yes, there was a small mistake over here. He said 259, he said 301, but it's basically the same. A toys of mashu. The divrei Yehuda adam toye shol mashu. Remember, the second case in the Mishnah was that one said at 3 and the other said at 5. Okay, so now how does that work out? The review the adam toyim shol mashu, an hour and a little bit. Masiki have oy besif sholish oy betchilish chamish. The actual murder took place at the end of the third hour, meaning at 3:59. Oy betchilish eish at 5:01. And therefore, one of the two is making a mistake of an hour and a bisala. Meaning, let's assume that this took place besoif sholish. Soif sholish means at 3:59. The first guy said it took place at 3 o'clock. Okay, 3 o'clock means an hour, 59 minutes. The other person who said that it took place at 5 o'clock, at 5, it took place at 3:59. Oh, what's the difference between 5 o'clock and 3:59? An hour and change, an hour and a minute, right? 5 o'clock, 5:01, subtract 3:59, you have a full hour in between, and you have a couple of minutes, so that's the shol mashu. Or could it be the other way around? Maybe the actual murder took place with chilas chamish, 5:01, and so therefore the person who said 5 o'clock, he's on the money, exactly. The one that said 3 o'clock, he didn't mean 3, he meant at the end of 3, and therefore 3:59, from 3:59 until 5. 5:01, an hour, and a mashu. And that's the nafkamina. Now, this is the way we interpreted the Mishnah back in Masechta Sanhedrin, which is talking about Nebuchadnezzar murder case, and you have two conflicting edim. But as you can see, the Gemara is going to Mietchem tomorrow, try to figure out whether that works and is consistent with our Meir and Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. On the surface, it is very consistent, because our Meir says, eat until the fifth hour and stop burning the sixth hour because a person only makes a mistake of a mashu. So you can eat up until 11 and you'll stop burning at 11:01. No problem. Rabbi Yehuda said, oh, no. A person makes a toys of lamashal isho mashu. So stop eating at 10, take a break for an hour, and then continue, and you have to go and burn it into the sixth hour because of that 1 hour difference. So Mietzshem, tomorrow we can continue through this pattern of Remeir and Rebuda.
What a dicey subject.
Have a wonderful day. Yeah, let's talk about Simchas.